Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Four Kia, Hyundai, great pre-owned inventory. Trade-ins never been worth more. And there's so often where Matt's wanted to trade me in. I don't get it. Great service department, takes care of the routine, inspections, difficult. It's one-stop shopping where customer service means everything. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Ready to call for it. Three to his right. Takes the snap, sets the laces, bounces in the pocket, hit from behind, flips it forward. It is intercepted! Intercepted! A pick six! David Long Jr. plucks it at the one. He's got an interception return for a touchdown.
Former Nittany Lion, who then eventually transferred out, but boy, did I like him. Personally, as a player, I really liked him, and personally, I really liked him. Troy Reader was the one that made that play. And Nick Scott played very well again last night. Good win for the Rams. They've got the Bucks next. That should be a really good game. The matchups this weekend are far more difficult to pick. Big night tonight in Boston. The Carolina Hurricanes will take on the Bruins. It is the night that the Bruins will finally retire number 22, Willie O'Ree's number. Willie O'Ree was the first black NHL player in 1957. And he will have his number finally retired tonight in Boston. And it's great that Willie is still here with us, which is great. I'm never big on, well, you know, his family's there. It's like, people are alive. By the way, the NHL is going to stop testing asymptomatic players after the All-Star break. You wanted something done, Matt. You wanted something. You demanded it. People listen to you now.
Apparently, yeah. I get it, but I still would be a little nervous about it because...
Why? I mean, I'm around this all the time. I'm telling you. All right? The people that are being tested have symptoms. If you're if you are somebody with symptoms, even if you're vaccinated, you get tested. If you're not... you're sitting there like, how do you feel? I feel fine. I mean, how often are you running to the doctor to get tested?
I mean, I get it. The problem is they say you can still have it, and then you worry about continued spread like that. But I guess because of the way things are, I kind of get it.
But this goes to what the NFL said. Now, the NFL, remember, has now gone through 2 years of practical application.
Correct, yes.
And what did they say?
Asymptomatic players aren't the problem as far as the spread goes.
Zero. He said, I can't say it's zero, but geez, he said, we'd have to work hard to find it. He said, it's the symptomatic players that have spread it. This is the NFL with 2 years of practical in the trenches application. Right? Okay, now, see, that's data. Okay, that's, you know, okay, that means something than some Tetros guy in some other part of the world telling me, like, oh, no, it's like, yeah, okay, hold on, pal. This guy over here, like, is, like, actually sees people who have it. I think I'm going to listen to him, okay? And they've gone through 2 years. That's why they're going this path across the board. They're going this way across the board because now, after 2 years, not after a month, 2 months, hey, no, they've gone 2 years now, Matt, of this. Starting with mini, you know, it's starting with training camps, how they had to play last season, how they had to test every day. I think everybody's kind of like has a better handle on what is and isn't. And they're finding that the asymptomatic, how do you feel? I feel fine. Well, they're figuring out. They're not spreading it. But that guy over there who's like, I got a little scratchy throat. I got a little nasal congestion. You're like, whoa. Okay, hold on. You're the issue. Let's test them. Let's find out. Who have you been around? That's a smarter way to go about your business. Right? Especially, I mean, if you're vaccinated, isn't that part of the deal of being vaccinated? You get a little more leeway in life. You're asymptomatic and you're vaccinated. Isn't that kind of like... they shouldn't even say they're asymptomatic. They're sitting there like, I'm not sick. I mean, don't you know when you're sick? When you were out, did you know you were sick?
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, it's a good point.
That's the way it is for all of us in our lives. You sit there and go, okay, you know, boy, I'm really run down, or, oh, I really am clogged up. Oh, man, I got a sore throat. You know that, hey, wait a minute, I'm coming down with something. Now, let's use some common sense here. That's what they're trying to do with this. They're trying to use more common sense along the way with what they're doing. You feel something, you get tested. All right? You don't. Why? Because they've already had 2 years of practical application that shows that, well, it's kind of like a waste of time, to be honest with you. They're not spreading it. Those are the people in the trenches that are there every day doing this in the NFL. And that's why you're seeing other leagues going to it, because guess what? I can tell you they're probably having the same experience. I know in college they're having the same experience. I can tell you that. I'm around it every day. Remember, I'm around it every day. So I'm not coming at this from a, you know, 30,000-foot level here. I'm on the plane with them. I'm at the practices with them. I'm at the games. I'm there. I see the bad calls the referees make in routes.
You're right.
Sorry. That's a different topic. All right, let's bring in Neil Coulong. Talk about the Steelers. We knew this was going to happen. Neil and I rehearsed this segment a week ago. Neil.
It's great to be here. And yes, I think that was my greatest prediction of the year. Kansas City was going to beat Pittsburgh in the wild card round of the playoffs.
I know I fought you hard on that prediction. I mean, I apologize for it. I was vehement. And
you put up a good argument. I thought about it. I thought long and hard.
I said they're going to get roasted. I said the Eagles are going to get roasted. The Patriots are going to get roasted. All right. So let's put just very quickly on the game. You and I both know that so much of this, we can talk scheme all we want, but scheme's only good if you got the right matchups. This was a bad matchup from the get-go. Why?
Depth and just really the talent in one for one. I mean, if we were to pick it apart, and it, you can't really do this, but just for perspective's sake, look at Travis Kelce and look at Pat Freiermuth. Look at Deontay Johnson, look at Tyreek Hill, look at Najee Harris, and look at any one of their speed demon running backs, multi-position guys, your Jerick McKinnon types of guys. Kansas City just has explosive playmakers, and Pittsburgh does not. And on top of that, you know, the biggest one of all would be the quarterback position. Kansas City has a quarterback that's capable of consistently throwing the ball 15-plus yards down the field. That gives you a dimension within your offense to do things. And it's exactly why, yeah, it was great. You know, it was a lot of fun. The first couple drives, Steelers defense was playing really well. Yeah. They were. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. They did a lot of good things. But you're not going to stop that team for four quarters. There's just no way you can do that in today's NFL. They're going to put points on the board. And then along with that, you had a couple breakdowns within the Steelers' defense. And just like that, it was 21-7. And that's the result of Kansas City doing what it normally does, whereas getting up 7-0 was Pittsburgh moving the ball literally 1 foot at a time and then making plays on defense to do it. It's not sustainable. They're just top to bottom. Pittsburgh's offense was they were terrible, especially over the second half of the year. It was worse than it was last season. And a large part of that is they do not have playmakers, explosive playmakers. They've got a lot of guys that can plod. There are a lot of guys that will make plays, come up with your combat catches or do things on third and five. They don't have guys that can flip the field. They don't have guys who are a threat to make a big play every time they touch the ball, regardless of where they are in the field. So exactly to your point, scheme is irrelevant if you don't have playmakers. And they completely lack playmakers on offense. We've seen it all year. We've seen it for the better part of 2 years. They're just not good enough.
And if you do have a playmaker, you have to catch the ball more than 50% of the time. And that's a big problem. I felt like every time I watch Deontay Johnson, I feel like I'm watching the movie The Replacements. It's like, where he can fly down the field.
Such a frustrating game from him, too. Because the first one ran a beautiful slant, ran an all-pro level slant. The cornerback has to know Johnson when he's closer to the tight end, when he lines up. He's got to be thinking slant is a pretty good option here. Yeah. He's lining up on him evenly. He wasn't giving it to him. The ball was snapped. Johnson was off, and he was gone immediately. He beat him immediately off the ball, and it clunked square off his hand. Yeah. It's like, oh, God, that was a first down. And that's not the end-all, be-all of the game. But two of those would have been first downs that he dropped. I had him in three drops. Two of them would have been first downs.
Yeah.
That extends drives. That gets you, theoretically, three more plays. That runs some more time. That gets your offense more plays to run to see what the defense is doing. When you punt every down for a half, you're just simply not going to get into any type of rhythm, and you don't have anything to adjust to. I mean, you weren't good at anything, so it was extremely frustrating to see that after the year that he had, because he came on. He was really good over the last 8-9 games of the season. You saw really how good that he can be, and he was getting open. He gives himself the opportunity to make plays, but it just didn't work for whatever reason. Who knows? I mean, it's not the velocity of the ball. I know that. So it really it's frustrating to see. But, if nothing else, Johnson showed up every game. He played the game hard. He's gotten a lot better as a player. I think he still has room to grow. He's just going to have to get that figured out, if that's something that he can even do.
All right. So now let's get to the coordinator situation. Matt Canada and Keith Butler. What are your thoughts?
Canada, I can't say the full statement on the air, but you really can't make chicken salad out of chicken stuff. He didn't have weapons available to do much. The reason this offense this season looks so much like it did last season is because you had a lot of the same guys. It's not the guy calling the plays. They have to draw up stuff that can work. You don't go in to make plays to try to trick people all the time. It's not a Disney movie, okay? They can adjust to what you're doing. They can figure out what you're doing. You need to be able to do simple things well, and they couldn't do that. They're just not very good, top to bottom. I'm not concerned so much with the direction of the offense in year one of Matt Canada. What I would look at more now is he's had a year under his belt as far as running everything. What are they going to do? What is it going to look like? What's their plan going to be? They've got a solid running back. They're going to have a new quarterback. I'm going to guess it's Mason Rudolph, but maybe it's somebody completely different. They're going to need to draft playmakers, so you're putting the Steelers' reputation to find good receivers at some point in the draft on the line with this. It's similar to last year in the sense that they have more needs than they have picks. So how are they going to make that a priority? I think to some degree, if you want to challenge Canada, it's going to have to be, you need to get him mid to late round guys, and he's going to have to make something out of them. So that's not just on him. That's on the position coaches as well, but they all contribute to that. I don't think you get rid of him after a year. I'm not sure there was a point in hiring him simply because last year at this time when we had this conversation, I said the same thing. They're not going to be a good offensive team next year because they don't have the guys. It takes a while to build and develop that. They've got to be able to make that move this year. They're going to have to add something explosive on offense, and I think Canada is going to have to be, you know, kind of an eye for that as far as what they have internally, as far as what's in the draft, as far as what's available. He's going to have to weigh in on that, and they're going to let him, you know, sleep in the bed that he made. As far as Butler goes, I've heard the rumors, retirement's a possibility. I think either way, he's probably at the end of his rope. They're going to need to continue to change what they're doing. Their offense now does have to kind of, or defense, excuse me, does have to kind of go through TJ Watt fully. They've made the financial commitment to it. They're going to have a lot more younger guys coming in. I think they did a lot of different stuff in their secondary this year. And with that, you probably still need to refresh talent there. You're going to have to figure out James Pierre because you're letting Joe Haden walk for him, and you bench James Pierre halfway through the year and let Akilah Witherspoon, who didn't play at all, step up and look pretty good. He's probably not coming back. He's going to sign somewhere that's above Pittsburgh's desired pay range, and you're going to have to make it work with James Pierre. You're probably going to have to get more out of Cam Sutton, and with that, if Cam Sutton's on the field, hope they don't play Kansas City ever again. He got destroyed in that game. That was really bad.
Yep.
And you're going to have to draft one, and then you'll sign the standard Steelers veteran slot guy like they always do. To me, that's a defensive overhaul in a lot of ways. They have a lot of good pieces in place, but the defensive line needs to be overhauled. Their inside linebackers, you got some pretty good questions there of what you're going to do. They might be at zero at that position. Who knows? I think it's time for a change in direction.